Each book of the Bible is rooted in history. The books of 1 and 2 Samuel recount the history of Israel's transition from the period of the judges to the beginning of the monarchy, stretching from the birth of Samuel to the final days of King David. A full appreciation of the historical and theological relevance of 1 and 2 Samuel is enhanced by an understanding of the contextual background, specifically the political and economic milieu in which Israel became a nation and formed a monarchy. Internal and external pressures led Israel to become united and eventually form a monarchy. The whole history of Israel pivots at this critical juncture, and it's a juncture with geographic relevance as well as historical relevance. It's really an amazing story of God's providence. To learn more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. To set the stage for 1 and 2 Samuel, I want to briefly look at the Pentateuch and Joshua and Judges. The book of Genesis covers creation, the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel, and then the call of Abraham, which laid the foundation for a future nation. The book of Exodus covers slavery in Egypt, God's rescue, and the formation of a nation under covenant with God at Mount Sinai. The tabernacle and the priesthood were established. In the book of Leviticus, God set up the religious structure, including sacrifices and feasts and guidelines for holiness in daily life. In the book of Numbers, ritual purity laws were established. God guided the people, but they demonstrated rebellion with repeated grumbling and complaining, which disqualified that generation from entering into the promised land. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses stood before a new generation and explained the significance of the laws of the Torah in preparation for entering the land of Canaan. So the Pentateuch has been building toward this point, the conquering of the promised land, which is detailed in the book of Joshua. Now, what I'm about to share is something that I cover in an ancient world history course that I teach at Wilson University. And it is a very powerful point to show God's divine design for Israel. The nation of Israel was born in an important geographic location as well as an important historical era in the broader ancient Near East. And it was not by coincidence. It was providence. The ancient Near East is a term that refers to the region where the three continents of Asia, Africa, and Europe converge. In looking at the ancient Near East in biblical times, to the northeast was the area known as Mesopotamia. This was the Fertile Crescent, where the river valley cultures of Sumer, Babylon, and Assyria originated. To the southwest was the ancient civilization of Egypt and the Nile Valley. Trade between these two regions was essential for sustaining their large populations. Canaan was a strategic location due to the trade routes, and it was a battleground for control of the area. God placed Israel at a geographic juncture where three continents collide. As a strategic location for trade, this meant that it was a place of travel and migration, which would enable Israel to be a light to the other nations, demonstrating what it looks like to have God as their king. In addition to placing Israel at an important geographic location, God also placed Israel at a historical junction between two ages of human history. There are different ways to divide up and label human history into ages, but the simplest way is three overarching ages: the Stone Age, the Bronze Age, and the Iron Age. Now, these can be further subdivided, but I just want to keep it simple for our purposes. In the early part of the Bronze Age, copper began to be used in place of stone. Then bronze, which is an alloy of copper and tin, began to be used. Eventually, true bronze was used to create weapons, tools, and other objects. The Bronze Age period lasted from roughly 3300 BC to 1200 BC. The Bronze Age is named for the numerous technological advances that were made in this time. In this age, there was increased specialization. Eventually, the ability to heat and forge another metal, iron, brought the Bronze Age to an end and led to the beginning of the Iron Age. You can imagine that it was an important transitional time in human history. Beginning around 1200 BC, in a relatively short period of time of mere decades, there was a period of societal upheaval that saw the decline and fall of major Mediterranean civilizations. There was a near simultaneous collapse of well-established societies such as the Hittite Empire, the Mycenaean kingdoms, Egypt, Assyria, and Babylonia. The Eastern Mediterranean was thrown into a period of devastation and chaos. In fact, it is known as the Bronze Age collapse. Scholars believe that a combination of natural catastrophes, especially drought, together with earthquakes, famine, socio-political unrest, and invasion by nomadic tribes caused economic, social, and political upheaval. These factors resulted in a weakening or destruction of civilizations due to inflation, piracy, loss of trade, internal strife, warfare, population movements, destruction of cities, plague, population decline, and systems collapse. Now, here's where it gets very interesting. While the situation was devastating for the larger, more advanced civilizations, it created an opportunity for many small independent states to become established in the area that was previously controlled by the larger kingdoms. The smaller states had a window from the 11th through the mid-9th centuries BC to flourish before the Assyrian Empire regained its strength. This window was a providential opportunity for Israel to become established as a nation. Think about the beginning of Israel with the call of Abraham, which was roughly around 2000 BC. God had been dealing with Abraham's descendants for about 1,000 years, and the timing of Israel's entry into Canaan exactly aligned with the collapse of the Bronze Age and the collapse of the strong, advanced civilizations that could have easily crushed Israel. To me, this is such an amazing part of the story of the conquest of the Promised Land, because God timed it perfectly with the transition between one historical age and another. There was a narrow window to conquer the land, get established, and to flourish before powerful nations or empires could overtake them. I sometimes wonder how things may have turned out for Israel if they had conquered the land 40 years earlier when God had originally commanded them. Due to their fear and disobedience, they lost almost half a century of time, which would have given them even more time to establish themselves before the surrounding empires regained their strength. So now this puts the book of Joshua, which covers Israel's conquest and division of Canaan, into a global or at least a regional perspective. For Israel to be successful, Joshua emphasized Israel's need for unity among the tribes and obedience to God. There was a providential window of time in history, but in order to fulfill their purpose, they needed to act obediently to God and in unity with each other. In the final chapter of the book, Joshua charged the people to choose this day whom they would serve. And the people said, God forbid that they should forsake the Lord. And the Bible tells us that Israel did serve the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. But then came the period of the judges. Joshua had told the people to get rid of their foreign gods in order to serve the Lord properly, but they hadn't. And instead of destroying the pagan culture of Canaan, they absorbed it. The book of Judges shows cycles of Israel living sinfully, then becoming oppressed, then crying out for mercy, then God raising up a judge to be a deliverer, followed by a period of peace, and then Israel sinning again. God provided a series of judges. However, the judges themselves showed a propensity to moral weakness, and Israel kept falling into sin. By the end of the book of Judges, Israel was becoming more like the nations around it. Israel had not completely conquered the promised land as God had commanded. In order to become established in Palestine, Israel had to contend with the native Canaanites as well as the Philistines, who were relatively recent immigrants to the land. Israel faced ongoing hostilities and economic competition with the Philistines and Canaanites. The Philistines were the primary enemy of Israel during this period. They were fearless warriors whose mastery of military science and technology enabled them to establish a formidable presence on the coastal plain of Canaan. With the collapse of the Hittite Empire around 1200 BC, the Hittite monopoly on iron was broken, and the wide recognition of iron as a superior material for tools and weapons ushered in the Iron Age. To maintain domination during the early period of the Iron Age, the Philistines banned ironsmiths in Israel to prevent them from developing weaponry. And in addition to depriving Israel of weaponry, the Philistines also reaped a profit by maintaining Israel's agricultural tools. Israel was also struggling with internal pressures because of its growing population. When Israel originally settled in the land, it established small agricultural villages in the highland core of Palestine, which was prone to uneven landforms, a lack of regularly available fertile land, and a lack of stable water supplies. Over time, Israel's burgeoning population exacerbated the difficult geographic and economic factors, creating internal pressures for centralized governance in order to provide social and economic stability. So imagine all of these pressures coming to bear on the Israelites. Although Israel was initially successful in conquering much of the land, they hadn't conquered all of it. And they were increasingly unsuccessful at controlling and occupying the conquered territories. In fact, the tribe of Dan had abandoned the promised land of their inheritance. They had embraced idolatry and moved north. As I already mentioned, Israel had frequently sinned and was disobedient. So foreigners had regularly oppressed them. And the Philistines, who were also a relatively new group of immigrants, like the Israelites, threatened to displace them. The Israelites had basically become corrupt and wicked like the Canaanites, who they were supposed to displace. Even the priesthood was corrupt. Israel's sin compromised its identity and its mission. This is such a key point. God gave Israel a historical window of time to conquer the land and get established, and the promised land was at a geographic location that would enable Israel to be a light to the other nations. But instead, they became like the other nations. Israel's sin compromised its identity and its mission. By the end of the book of Judges, Israel was no longer making any serious effort to obey God. The famous last words of the book of Judges are, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." There was no virtuous leader in Israel. The moral failure of much of the period of the judges emphasized the need for a virtuous king. Who could rescue them from this mess? The answer comes in the book of Samuel, which we will discuss further in the next episode. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.